Welcome back to Charting the Course. It's wonderful to be with you this week. We're here today for another edition of our Captain's Corner with our CEO, David Stanley. But before we get to our conversation, just a couple quick updates. Hope everyone's having a wonderful month of March. Be on the lookout. We'll have our quarterly market update coming out here in about a week or two. So if you want a copy of that or want to get your hands on it, let us know. We'll be more than happy to send you a copy. And then shortly after that comes out, we'll sit down with Zach and Austin and have another Squared Away conversation. So plenty to talk about in the market. Today, though, there's plenty to talk about just in the world and headlines and news. It's never boring. So, like I said, I'm joined by David here in studio to kind of get his perspective from his seat as our CEO, one of our lead advisors. He's been doing this now 35 years. Yeah. So you've got just a little bit of experience, David. It's great. Thank you for joining me. Great to be with you.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
I thought we'd start with, you know, one thing I think we hear all the time is, No, this year's different. Or no, I promise it's different this time. We're going to have XYZ, whatever. Right. So it is an election year. There is still the craziness of the financial markets, capital markets. But I thought I'd get your take and kind of get your opinion on, let's look back at some of the top headlines from 2023. And then I want to go back a step further and look at some of the top headlines from the last election year.
Oh, gosh.
Which was also
COVID.
The year COVID was born.
Yeah.
So 2020. But let's look at last year real quick, because that's a little more top of mind. But even as we were preparing for this, you and I were like, I can't believe that was last year.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was in June. So here's a couple things, and then I want to back up and we'll discuss them. But you have AI enter the chat. AI enters the conversation. NVIDIA becomes a household name. You have, and again, that's artificial intelligence. You have this technology just take off. So we can talk about that a little bit. You have, oh, by the way, a regional bank failure, a regional bank crisis. You have the Silicon Valley Bank failing. First Republic Bank basically gets given to JP Morgan. You have the United Auto Workers strike. Yeah, fire sale in the banks. You have a United Auto Workers strike in there that halted production for pretty much most of the large American manufacturers. You have the FTX cryptocurrency exchange founder, Sam Bankman-Fried. That may not be a household name to a lot of you, but in the financial world, that was a big deal, and he was convicted for fraud and conspiracy and bilked investors out of billions of dollars. So that's just a few.
And on top of that, he just looks super creepy.
Crazy.
He literally, when I first saw him, I thought, man, when I was like young and you were old enough to stay at home alone when your parents were out, you always thought that head was going to come up in your window.
And be there to take you away.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, and by the way, you have when I was looking this up, it was fascinating, but you had what a lot of people call the Taylor Swift economy.
Oh,
yeah. And so you had these ups and downs and fluctuations in the market. And we, you know, 2023 was a good year in the market. It was a great year for the market, in fact. But you saw the consumer really through the lens of Taylor Swift, which is hilarious that we're even talking about this. But people spent so much money to go see her and the amount of money she brought in. And so you saw this economy out there that was just, you know, dying for that content.
I don't think you often see an entertainer move GDP measurably.
Yeah.
And apparently she did. So good for her.
Good for her.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you think about last year, mm-hmm. 2023, what were some things that you look at that list, or what were some things maybe I left out, but that you just sat there and you're like, I had 10 conversations around that. And here we are today looking back and they were a big deal. They weren't a big deal.
Well, first, let's just start off with the AI.
Sure.
So AI became, it just launched into this huge conversation last year, a lot of money backing it. Now we have these data centers being built all over the country to support the firepower behind all this artificial intelligence. But we had AI before that. I mean, we've been using AI here in our trading software since we started.
Right.
So, I mean, we were like, okay, it is AI. So it's funny how when something, you just don't know, when something wants to take off, it's going to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, again, why we never tell anybody, hey, just sit your money on the sidelines because it makes no sense. We don't know when those things are going to. I can tell you this, in our previous lives where we were active investors, we're not now, where we tried to buy the best five names.
You were picking stocks.
You would have never bought NVIDIA. They were overpriced. I can't tell you how many times in my career we had a headline come out that they're going out of business. And now they're the leader there. And if you didn't have a very large position in that name and a handful of other tech names last year, you didn't make a whole lot of money.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up, because to your point, they're showing, NVIDIA, to pick on them, they're showing up on screens of do not buy, not not on, hey, look at this really cheap tech stock.
Yeah.
So yes, to your point, our approach to managing money, we're going to capture that NVIDIA gains because they are appropriately owned in the ETF.
Yes. And that, now the way we manage money, we never miss out on right. any of that.
Right.
So it's kind of fun to watch that.
Sure.
Isn't it interesting how we forget how scared everyone was over this regional bank thing?
Got to go to the bank. I get my money, oh my cash, God. Buy a safe.
It's going to be run on these regional banks. It's going to be run on them. I heard that everywhere I went, hey, have you checked in with your regional bank? And I'm checking in even with our local bankers here, and they're going, what are you talking about? Yeah. We're doing fine.
Yeah.
And yes, could a bank go down? Again, you look back at Silicon Valley Bank. This is when you know we have a bunch of idiots in our regulatory system that monitor these
that are
these
supposed to be watching.
The watchdogs there, because you literally, this bank was the bank. All of their clients basically are venture capital funds, mm-hmm. private equity funds, hedge funds. And yet they were going out as a bank and building a bond portfolio of very long dated bonds. We know that. The longer the maturity on a bond, the more risk it has. And when rates go up, bond values go down. They shouldn't have let the duration on their bond portfolio be more than a money market.
Right.
Versus a 20 to 30 years, which caused them to lose billions when rates turned and just shot up. So I look at that and I view that as much as a regulatory failure as a market, you know, curve
right.
to them. So but I'm gonna tell you, there were a lot of people. Oh, if we watch the news, we watch it long enough just so we can know what
right.
our clients are hearing.
Yep. Yeah.
Because most of it, we just shake our heads while we're watching it going, okay. And then so now you don't hear anyone talking about that. Now, there's going to be one-offs here or there of banks going down. There's a New York bank that's probably headed that way.
Okay.
There's been some pretty good headlines in that. But again, we don't see anything systemic there. At least now, it may happen, yeah. but we don't.
Good reminder.
But everyone forgot about that and just poured money into the market,
mm-hmm.
right? After that, summertime came and we hit that wall. Remember yep. that? Where yep. I was like, okay, here it is. Recession's right around the corner.
Because, and just from a market data point for our listeners, you really had the market fueled late. It was that late rally.
Oh, yeah.
November, December, middle of October. So you had all of this stuff, regional bank failure, like I said, the auto worker strike, the cryptocurrency, you know, and we'll get into Bitcoin. I promise we'll get there in a second. But you had all this stuff happening. And again, just like this could be 2003 and we could pick up headlines and it'd
totally.
Be the exact same thing.
Every year has something.
Anything last year sticks out to you though?
You know, I look at it and I go, of course, the United Auto Workers strike, that was a big deal.
It was.
That was a big deal. But now we're not really talking
yeah.
about it, right?
Yeah.
It halted a lot of what was the manufacturing was going on. Now, I do think the whole car industry is, post-COVID, is trying to figure out how can we do this without having any cars on a lot where we got to pay financing yeah. charges to have an inventory out
right.
here. It does look like they're trying that. I think they're trying to see if they can do it. I doubt they can get that done because I don't know about you. I want to drive something before I buy it.
You know, a lot of them tried to do, you go and order whatever you want, like a buffet, and you just pick pick it all, which I think is great, but most consumers still want to go drive it.
Oh, I had a friend of mine that he went and bought a car right in the heart of all that, where all the power was in the car companies in arena, right?
Right.
It's a little bit more of a buyer's market now, but then it was all about them. He said, literally, you know how normally you pull up and there's 9 people that are looking out the window, looking
waiting.
At you, trying to see if they can figure out which way you're going to walk so they can naturally start walking
yeah.
next to you.
I was just going
to
go outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And hi, I'm Bob. Can I? Well, he said he pulled up and it was just like, no one. No one at the deal. He's like, okay, well, this is kind of cool. And he went and walked around, but then he was thinking, well, I really need to see someone. I want to drive. So it took him 20 minutes to find someone to get a key.
Oh my gosh.
To drive something. And then when he tried to negotiate on it, the guy laughed. He said, oh no, there's a premium on the sticker.
He's like, we have one of those.
It's not just this. It's a, so, it, yeah, tables turned. The last car we bought in our house, my wife is a genius on buying cars. We were walking out of the car dealership, and the guy was walking behind her going, this isn't fair. She goes, I'm sorry, sir. I'm a, and literally, we pulled out of the parking lot. She goes, two lights. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, I will get a call on my cell phone before we go through two lights. And on the second light, we're about to go through it. The phone rings. We go back and pay for it. Anyway.
That's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it did. It did kind of get flipped on its head, though, for a little bit, to your point. Yeah.
Yes. A little crazy.
Yeah.
A little crazy. The whole crypto thing, I know we're going to talk about it a little bit. The Sam Bankman-Fried, that fraud, it just shows you that's just really Wild West, man.
It is.
Wild West. And I look at some of the action there. Hey, I know a lot of people are making money right now there, so I'd say bravo.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're doing it. There's nothing intrinsically that's moving that. There's no intrinsic value to any of those cryptocurrencies, at least yet.
Right.
It's all the hope that it's going to be
this
currency.
It's like venture capital.
Yeah. It's just this hope and or this limited supply is
the
what
limit.
They keep on telling you. So now it's supply and demand dynamics. I just, I still look at it and I go, it's a Bernie Madoff circus. I mean,
yeah.
Personally.
Well, we kind of addressed it earlier, but he's kind of just a crazy person.
Nuts, so, man.
It was hard
and people gave that guy billions.
Yeah, it was hard to understand how he was bringing in so much money. So, okay, so that was just 2023.
Yep.
The other thing, outside of just normal financial news that we're going to have this year, is it's another election year. And hey, oh, by the way,
oh wow,
probably the same two dudes running against each other that we had in 2020. Really, the only thing we have going for us right now is the fact that COVID-19 is not the front line. So if we go back to the last election year in 2020, everything's great in January. Looks like a normal market year, normal election year.
Yep.
And then, oh, by the way, by March, the world is shut down. COVID-19, you forget about a lot of the anger and confrontation that went on with the lockdowns and the mandates. And so that really took center stage for quite a while there. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I hate to admit, but I forgot that George Floyd's death was in 2020, which really kicked off this massive civic movement.
Rioting.
There were some really good conversations to come from that.
Yeah.
But there were also some just absolutely terrible, just anger-driven protests and riots and just a complete division across our country.
Right.
So you had that in 2023 too. I forgot about this. The 2022 hurricane season, which, why are we talking about hurricanes on here? It was one of the worst on record.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the damage it did to some of the local GDPs across those areas that were hit are crazy. Then in November, you have the election. Biden wins the election. The market was just absolutely nuts. I pulled this stat. I'm gonna use this and give it to Zach and Austin when we have our squared away conversation. But the S&P 500 closed up or down at least 1%. So it had a 1% move in either direction in a single day. 110 times.
Unbelievable.
Out of 253 trading days. So not quite half, but close.
Wow.
Compared to 2019, which that's the last year I remember, because since then, everything's just been a blur and fast forward.
Right.
There was 38 1% moves up or down. So it just goes to show you that the market's going to do what the market does. You have this crazy COVID-19 come out of nowhere and disrupt everything.
Oh, yeah,
fed into the market, and then all, some of the other highlights that I just had there. But as you
down
think 30, back,
the down 33% in 34 days. Mm-hmm. I remember having one person come in to me and go, "Are you worried?"
Yeah.
About halfway through it, and I went, "I mean, this isn't fun, but no, I'm not worried. Our economy was red hot going into this, and we did it to ourselves. So I really wasn't. But I didn't think we'd recover in a matter of months
quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. In the month of March, we had two rallies, so two up days of more than 9%, which is also crazy.
Wow.
But you also had a 12% drop, a daily 12% drop in the same month. But like we're talking about, the end of that year, the S&P 500's up year over year 16.3%. Dow's up 7.3%. The tech was crazy, had a 43.6% return. I don't want to get too far into the data, but I think it just shows, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that. Really speaks into the whole, we can't let fear in 2020 or greed in 2023 of AI and NVIDIA and Silicon Valley. You saw fear and greed in both of those years.
Right.
And what were some things you were continuing to remind clients, colleagues, partners?
So I know I am a complete broken record, But when I see stuff like that, I think people think really big gains are earned in the market, like over, we have this incremental gain every day and it goes up or
small,
every week.
Little, yeah.
You make your money in the market in a small number of days.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't be out.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were talking about, these days were, yeah, we had a day where we were down, what?
Nine.
But we had days where we were up nine.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had days we were down 12.
Or down 12, yeah.
Down 12, up nine.
Up nine.
So, I mean, you look at that and you just go, as long as you still believe free market capitalism works,
mm-hmm.
which I do.
I do.
And I look around the world, we're still the best, the cleanest shirt in the closet, even though the closet's getting dirtier every year.
Right.
You look at it and you just go, wow, discipline trumps conviction. I don't know any other way to put it. And it's so not sexy. It's so not sexy because if you had someone pick at NVIDIA and just who had money, just slam everything they had into it, if they were right, they feel brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they are the most brilliant people. And you know what? Hats off to them. But what people don't realize, that's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing here with the very diversified portfolio and fundamental investing, this isn't investing,
mm-hmm.
but it is not gambling.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to use a gambling analogy,
right?
The way we manage money in the equity markets, especially, we are the house. And all these active managers come to our table and they gamble, creating this beautiful, efficient market.
Yep.
That we gain.
Yep.
And if anybody knows anything about the house, all the house needs is time.
They just need time.
Well, we just need time. Yeah.
I think that's a great analogy because I think sometimes people will assume that we are just completely anti active traders or active management or people that like to trade.
Oh, we need them.
We really need them. We need them to make the market.
Yeah.
And so it is. And I think that's a great example. We need that balance of we're over here playing the house. We're going to play the odds, and the odds tell us that trying to time in out of the market is a terrible idea. If you miss, I'll get this a little wrong, but like even if you miss the 10 best days in the market, just 10,
yep,
you're just out. It wipes out
like over that's like over a 20-year period. You might be thinking over one or two or three. If you miss the 10 best days in the market over a 20-year period, you could make half the return everyone else did that stayed in.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what are you talking about? It's true.
So going back to that 110 days in 2020, you're telling me somebody's got 110 of those, right?
Right.
They only did the 1%.
Well, we had someone, when it all kicked off with COVID, my partner Zach and I, and I believe George Comey, we were flying back from Boston. We'd been out there on a meeting. And of course, I looked over and saw somebody with a mask on, and I thought, "What a wimp!" And
of
course, like a week later, we found out we all probably should have had one. But we literally were coming back, just going, "Wow, man! That you just don't know when something's going to break off." We didn't know anything was going to break off that year. We'd started the year off really great,
yeah,
and felt really strong about the year. And then you had this horrible tragedy happen. Well, a lot of people died, which we hate that. But it's like, you know, we do live in a world that
we're not guaranteed anything.
No one's guaranteed any tomorrow. So you look at that and you just go, wow. So how do you, people are always going, well, how do you game that? And I just say, by not gaming it, we make a ton of money for our clients over a long period of time. It's just it's unpredictable. We don't know when it's going to happen. And, you know, there's no guarantee it will keep on working like this in the future.
Right.
But the rhythm has been constant. I've been doing this 35 years. The reason why I have such confidence when I meet with clients is because I go, wow, I've seen it over and over and over do the same kind of rhythm, at least while I've been doing it.
Sure.
And then you track it out and you trace it out from even beyond that historically, 50, 60, 70 years, and you feel really good about it. So I guess when I look at what's happening, I just go, man, it's time in the market is how you make money. It's not timing the market. And I think so many people are just dying to find somebody that will tell them, you know what? We'll get you out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you out of the market at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get you back in. Well, in 2020, when we were coming home, we had a prospect we were meeting with.
Yep.
And they said, you know, my guy just got me completely out of the market. And it was really before everything went to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
And I thought, well, what incredible timing. He's going to have to find just as good a timing to get you back in. And he goes, we met with the same guy November.
Okay. So fast forward.
Still in cash.
Still sitting
now, remember, at the end of that year, we were up, our clients were up 17-20% for the year, yep. even though they'd had that huge roller coaster. Yep. This guy had avoided the down, but missed the entire up.
Yeah.
You don't get that stuff back.
You don't.
You don't get it back.
You don't. You've already missed a few, but what are some principles that you kind of adhere to and live by during any given market year? You've already mentioned, you know, the market has a rhythm, and we've already talked about how fear and greed can't drive our decisions, and time in the market, not timing the market. Anything else that you really try to kind of repeat to clients constantly?
Well, it's kind of like, so Zach Reynolds played golf at a very high level.
Right.
And I listened to him, how he mentally used to think about competing. And he said, you know, when you're on the green and you're tied and the guy was going to putt ahead of you, you would tell yourself he's going to make that putt. So that if he made it, it doesn't put pressure on you.
You're expecting it.
Yeah, so you're expecting it. So every year I go into it, I go, you know what? This year we're going to have something that's really going to be scary. There's just going to be something this year that's going to make us all think, we better have a bunch of water in the basement and food and you know, freeze-dried food.
Non-perishable, right.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or even in town, we've got chickens. And anyway, I've got a neighbor that has chickens in the middle of town. That's kind of unique. Kind of cool on a Saturday morning if you don't want to sleep in.
Yeah, it's fine.
And you look at it and you just go, so I tell myself every year we're going to have that. Every year we're going to have something that surprises us, like everyone waking up and going, hey man, AI, that's the next thing. And it was driving the market up when the rest of the market was not doing well.
Right.
At all.
No.
But it carried the whole market. So you look at that and you go, so are there going to be things I don't know about that are going to help me? And there's going to be probably one or two things every year that are going to scare me to death.
Right.
I know this if I hold true to what I know. And again, you've got to have an appropriate asset allocation. If you have an appropriate one, why we spend so much time with our clients trying to develop one. If you have an appropriate one, it should be something that doesn't cause you to lose sleep. Even in you shouldn't be regretting in a good time that you didn't have more of whatever, and you shouldn't be losing sleep in a bad time.
Well, and we glanced over, not on purpose, but in between that election year and COVID year of 2020, and then last year of 2023 was sandwiched in there with the 2022 bond market that was just awful.
Worst in history.
So to your point, waking up January of 2022 going, hey, you know what? I don't know what the year's going to hold. Something might have surprised me.
Well, we talked in Captain's Corner before. I didn't want to come on this and say I told you so.
It's okay. This is your corner.
But it was like we were saying this last year about this time. We're like, I don't think this is going to be as bad as everyone's thinking it's going to be. Because everyone thinks it's going to be bad, I think it's probably going to be, the contrarian in me says it's probably going to be good. And we saw that because at the end of, what did we say?
Yep.
End of 22, everyone's going, oh man, it's going to be worse next year.
Right.
Well, we had a fantastic, no one knows.
No one knows.
What I hate about our business is a bunch of these guys or gals that just run around wanting to promote themselves, making outlandish statements of things they know that if they're lucky enough to be right, they look like experts. Mm-hmm. When it was just pure luck, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You look at that and you just go, be honest with people. No one really knows.
Yeah. There's a running joke on, I guess, X now. I still call it Twitter.
Yeah.
But if Jim Cramer makes a call, like, this rally can't last, it's almost 9 out of 10 times that rally is going to then tenfold succeed. It's just the funny of, like, he's rarely, rarely correct.
Yes.
But yet people continue to watch. And I'm not picking on Jim. Jim's probably a great guy.
He may be. I'm not a big fan either. And if anyone in my household ever uses the term booyah, they get attacked by me.
Booyah.
But it's exactly. And it's like, he just became famous because he had a big personality. He had a track record.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really watched him, he's very honest. He goes, the Fed bailed me out. My company would have gone out of business twice if it hadn't been for the Fed.
Sure.
Cutting rates. You know, he's just a human.
Fun example. It is.
He's a human being, but he found a way to have a shtick and to, like, you know, not be afraid to nut up and be wrong on TV. And people thought, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And then again, he doesn't half the time, or probably more than half the time. So let's end with this. Closing thoughts on how you've watched the way our approach with clients, kind of that holistic family office, wealth management, because there's a lot that goes into that. And you were talking about it earlier. We are not traders. We are not gamblers. We're investors, and we take a long-term approach. So how have you seen that approach, or what's some of the things about our approach that you feel like, just, you know what, we may not be up with NVIDIA by 500%, but here's what we did, and this is how we're allocated. And if your goals are met, then we view that as success.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the way you got to manage, or at least measure your success, is if your clients are meeting the goals they told you they wanted to meet when they came in the first place.
Exactly.
And our clients are absolutely doing that. I'm always encouraged by Zach Reynolds and his team in our investment group. Incredible minds. They're incredible, brilliant, but very humble. And so the way we're set up to manage money for people, it's something like, even in a tough year, I slept like a baby because I knew we were wildly diversified.
Mm-hmm.
And in a really narrowly traded year, last year, I knew we weren't going to miss it, which we didn't. And I saw a lot of active management groups that literally trailed the market by 5 to 10%. And you're just like, wow, that's destroying wealth for your clients, right? And I look at it and I'm grateful. I would have never managed money like this had not Zach. I was an active management guy, man. I believed it. I drank the Kool-Aid. We would tell people, hey, man, we're going to cut the highs and the lows out of the market in over a 10, 15 year period. We're going to be right with the market and have a lot less volatility. Only thing is, it never worked. We always trailed like 2%, 2% every year. And then you might have a year where you were right with the market, then the next year off. Zach, as a CFA, was coming to me every day going, Dave, there's a better way to do it in evidence-based. And I'm telling you, the last white paper he had me read, it infuriated me so bad because it was basically just basic math that showed that the way we manage money is absolutely the way you should do it. So, no, I applaud all the active managers out there, because our clients thank you greatly, because you're helping us make really good money for them. You know, when the evidence changes, what I have peace about is when the evidence changes, we'll change with it. We're not dogmatic where we're at.
The only thing we kind of hit on it, but and we can save this for next time, because I would like to see what the crypto market does. But you have Bitcoin, you know, this month crossing over, you know, just making new highs. And Amazing. And we've talked about cryptocurrency a little bit, but we will definitely get into that next time. So if you have any questions about it, and I might even bring it up with Zach and Austin on Next Squared Away, but we'll hit that again. So David, we're out of time. I appreciate it. As always, thank you for sitting down with me. Thank you for just your leadership in our firm and guiding us through these crazy years. And this year's probably going to be, I'm going to this year going, something crazy is going to happen.
Right.
Especially when you look at some of the headlines we've talked about. So
thank you, Tyler.
Thank you.
Appreciate all you do.
Appreciate it. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to review and subscribe to your preferred podcast platform. Have a great week. All opinions expressed by the host and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Full Sail Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of Full Sail may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.